As we've been watching, it's been a crazy week in this nation. How many of you know that? Come on. But the bottom line is we need to understand where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And when the enemy comes in, God turns up the water like a flood, like a flood. He's about ready to turn this thing. Come on now. See, grace is greater than sin. Honestly, the power of unity is greater than the power of division. God is greater than the devil. And what the enemy meant for evil, God's going to turn it and work it together for good. People are going to reach across the aisle because they should have been doing it a long time ago. Come on now. But they're recognizing, hey, this is stupid, and we're not going to be stupid anymore. Come on now. Amen. So get ready for that. Hallelujah. Couple of quick announcements. My wife's book, Revival Roar, I consider it a must read. You know, God considered it a must read because he actually, it's the only book she's written on a visitation where God woke her up, sat her down, and said, you got to write this book now. And basically, it is almost like a prayer manual for revival. You know, I honestly believe it is a now time. Come on now. I believe we're going to come into a suddenly time. God said, I'm going to spring forth suddenly. Come on. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? God's doing a new thing. And we need to be able to recognize it when he does it. And our other book has been around for years. We just reprinted it called Righteousness Revealed. And I just reread it. And I thought, man, this is just as fresh as it was in 1984 when she first wrote it. It's just amazing. And, you know, so we do have some copies back there. Please, you know, avail yourself. This is 12. This is 10. I am wild about reading. Now, you'll understand something about I'm always reading. Always reading. I read more books. You know, most people only read, they say after they graduate, they read a couple books in their lifetime. Most people. I read a couple of books every week. I mean, that's what I do. I just love to read. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff out there. Come on. And, you know, I'm not stupid. Hallelujah. You know, and I just believe, you know, in that. God said before we preach, every time before we preach, we need to get the people declaring, I see revival. So I want you to begin to say, I see revival. I see revival. Come on. You're going to see revival, so you might as well start calling it. I see revival. This thing's going to break loose. I see revival. I see the revival sweeping our land, sweeping this state, sweeping the United States, sweeping the world. Come on now. God's got one last, come on, one last outpouring. Hallelujah. One last outpouring. Then we can eat. He said, you ain't not going to escape. You know, the marriage supper of the Lamb is not a consolation dinner. It's not a bunch of losers. Come on. They say, hey, you did your best, but no one very good. It's going to be a triumphant dinner. Come on. Well, this morning I want to talk something that I believe, you know, that God told me this would be a year of a turnaround. He's going to turn everything for good. Come on. The Bible says when God turned the captivity of Zion, Psalm 126, verse 1, we're like those who dream again. Well, this morning I'm going to go right along with that. I want to talk about the ultimate do-over. Come on. Because honestly, that's what God did. You know what God's doing? He's restoring everything to its original form. You know? And you see this in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It says, therefore, just as through one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. So you understand something. The Bible says, you know, Jesus is also known as the last Adam. Come on now. The last Adam, you know what God said? I'm going to do it over. We're going to do a do-over. Come on now. A sinless man, because Adam was a sinless man before he sinned. So a man sinned for the first time. So God had to send his own son in the likeness of humanity. Come on now. And he operated on earth as a man because he could sin. He just didn't. Come on. And literally, he went through his entire life without sinning until he got on the cross, and then he became sin. He didn't sin, he became sin. Come on. So we see how God said, hey, I got an answer. We got a do-over coming. Come on. Never let, death reign, it says, but the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one many died, much more, see, we get much more in Christ, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounds to many. And the gift is not like that which, came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, it says the judgment arose from one transgression resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, aren't you grateful for the other hand? Come on. Aren't you grateful for the do-over? But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions resulting in justification, just as if I'd never sinned. For if by the transgression of the one death reigned, through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace. Come on. Grace abounds. And of the gift of righteousness shall reign in this life through the one, Jesus Christ. So through one transgression, there resulted in condemnation to all men, even as through the one act of righteousness, there resulted in justification of life to all men. Well, God says, I'm offering justification to all men. Not all men will receive it, but as too many as receive him. Come on. He gave power to become the sons of God. To as many as received him, he takes you out of condemnation into justification. To as many as receive him, he takes you from being a sinner to being the righteousness of God. Come on now. You get a whole new DNA. You gain much more in Christ. Adam could walk with God, but he didn't have God living in him. We got a better covenant. Come on now. Hallelujah. We're a new breed. We're a new species. You might as well get excited about it because it's true. We're going to wake up to it one day and the devil's done. The devil will be done the moment we wake up. The moment we realize who we are. The moment we change our identity from the first Adam to the last Adam, he's done. Come on now. Because at that point, we'll be a new race. There won't be black, there won't be white. It will just be him. Come on, we'll be in Christ. Come on, be the new creation coming forth. Huh. Does this make sense? It says, for the through one man's disobedience, the many, we're sinners, even through the obedience of the one, many will be made righteous. And the law came in that the transgression might increase, but where sin increased, grace much more increased. I am so grateful that we are called to reign in this life. And the thing God began to show me, he began, isn't it neat that Jesus literally became a curse that we might be blessed? Come on now. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Isn't it so neat that he died as a seed so he could produce many sons and many daughters? And that's who we are. It's amazing. So I begin to look in the scripture. There's a prefix called re. And re basically means to do again. To do again. So Jesus came to reintroduce the kingdom. Come on now. See, everything's restored in the kingdom. Everything is restored in the kingdom. Until we have kingdom, we can't have restoration because everything is restored in the kingdom of God. When Jesus, when he came to reintroduce the kingdom. So he began to preach the kingdom of God. Repent. What he said, change your thinking. You're thinking wrong. Repent. The kingdom of God's at hand. You got to rethink this thing because we've been thinking wrong. Come on now. Repent. You know, when the first thing he preached was the kingdom. The last thing he preached was the kingdom. For 40 days, all he did was teach about the kingdom of God in Acts chapter 1. His last 40 days on earth, it was all kingdom. In between, it was all kingdom. See, you know, it's amazing. And very rarely do you hear much of the kingdom being preached, but that's changing. It's changing. It's changing. Because the kingdom is not that we fit in, we take over. There's no authority without the kingdom. There's no power without the kingdom. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. There's no glory without the kingdom. Come on now. Then literally what happens is the whole message of the kingdom is increase. Come on now. That's the whole message of the kingdom. Starts little, keeps growing, 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 growing. It's increase, increase influence. It's increase power. That's what the kingdom is. It's increase. See, until we get into kingdom mentality, we'll never understand the increase mentality. See, the original mandate of man was to have dominion. He said, hey, God said, I'm going to rule the heavens. I'm giving you the earth. Come on now. I want you to rule over everything down here. Ha, you know, this is the branch office of the kingdom of God. Come on now. It's the branch office. Well, it must be about my Father's business. Guess what? God called you all into his business. Come on. When you got born again, he said, hey, I need you to be my business associate. It's called the kingdom business. Come on, seek first the kingdom, his righteousness. It's not a religious thing. It's a kingdom thing. And he said, in order for you to do that, I'm going to make you kings. I'm going to make you daughters. I'm going to make you joint heirs. You're no longer a slave. You're no longer just a servant. You're a son. Because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. Son sit at the table, and he said, I'm going to begin to reveal secrets and mysteries. He came to reintroduce the kingdom of God. He came to restore righteousness and holiness to those who believe. He said, all you got to do, in one instant, come on, in one instant, you go from sinner to saint. From unrighteous unto as many as received him. He gives you power. He wipes the slate clean. He became sin that you might be made the righteousness of God. You have the ability to stand in God's presence without the sense of guilt, fear, or inferiority. Stand just like Jesus did. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, he's been made unto us righteousness, holiness, sanctification. We're already those things on the inside. We just got to work it out to the outside. Come on now. But how many of you understand that? The foundation of the kingdom is righteousness. He said, my kingdom is righteousness. It is righteousness. The result is peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Everything comes out of the righteousness of God. Come on now. In fact, honestly, if you're not righteous, you can't enter the kingdom. See, how could people say they're not righteous when God lives in you? God would not live in an unrighteous place. Your spirit was made righteous because that's where he lives. Come on now. Your soul is being saved, so he doesn't have total, God doesn't have total access to your soul because it's being saved. But your spirit is made righteous. That's where God lives, and your body will one day be made righteous. That's why we have so much problems with it. Come on now. Because if you don't tell it what to do, it's going to do the wrong thing. Come on. Does this make sense? And he came so the believer could have the Holy Spirit living in him. That's what the whole thing is. You must be born again to see the kingdom. You must be born. He said, hey, you got to get the king into your heart so you can see. You got to get the king into your heart. You have to invite him in so you can become the children of God. Then I'll show you the whole thing. I'll show you. I've given you this as an inheritance. It was God, the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And when he gave you the kingdom, he gave you everything you ever would need. When he gave you the kingdom, healing became yours. When he gave you the kingdom, provision became yours. Because everything the king is, the kingdom is. Come on. So when you study the names of God, that's not only just what he does, it's who he is. He's the Lord our righteousness. He's the Lord who heals us. Come on now. He's the Lord our provider. Come on. It's not just what he does, it's who he is. That those are his names. And Jesus came to retrain believers for leadership. Understand that. When God, one of the things God wants to retrain us. You know, he wants us to train our senses. So we're not ruled by them, but we rule them. We don't live by sight. The rest of the world lives by sight. We live by faith. Faith is the unseen realm. Come on now. He's called the church to retrain cultures. You know, you're called to disciple this area. The Bible says he's given us all power and all authority, but it says make disciples of all nations. We want to make disciples of individuals, and yet God says that's not enough. I want you to make disciples of the nation. I want you to change the entire culture. I've said that. You go to Tulsa, Oklahoma, the culture is different. The culture is different in Tulsa, Oklahoma than it is almost anywhere else in this nation. We've retrained the culture. You go into the grocery stores, worship music is playing. You go into, you know, the restaurants, worship music is playing. Why? Because the whole culture, whether not everyone's a Christian, but the culture is Christian because that's what's influenced it. Come on now. It's permeated. The gospel of the kingdom has come in such a way where the rule and the reign of God is in the culture. Come on. That's what we're called to do. Where God will be back into the culture again. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. It's time to rise and shine. Come on. It's time to reign and take back. See, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. That's why he came. And he gave authority to believers. That's what he did. He gave us all authority. All authority. Come on, there's no authority, Scripture says, but by God. And he said, God said, I've given all authority. Whatever you bind will be bound. Whatever you loose will be loosed. Whatever you permit will be permitted. Whatever you forbid will be forbidden. If we believe that, we could shut the door on the enemy. Come on now. We definitely wouldn't be running in fear. You know, Jesus came, he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, so are you. He went about doing good and healing those that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him, he's with us. He's going to anoint you in the same way. The works he did, you're going to do also. One of the things Jesus came, and we're talking about he came to reveal the Father. Because everything's tied to the Father. That was one of the messages. The message, you can't preach a kingdom unless you introduce the king. And Jesus said, I want to show you. I want to reveal the one that makes everything happen. He said, you see me, you're going to finally see the Father. I came to reveal him. I came to show you what the Father God's like. He's a good, good Father. He's a good, good Father. He said, I'm going to show you he wants to heal you. I want to show you he wants to set you free. And he said, when you pray, I don't want you praying some old God. He said, no. He said, pray, our Father, daddy, come on now. Hey, when your kid comes, hey, daddy, can I have? Well, he just gave the legal right when he said daddy. Come on now. Because he said, Daddy, he got my attention. If he said, hey, you, come on now. See, other kids can come up to me and say, will you do something? And I'll think about it. They're not my kids. Occasionally, out of the goodness of my heart, I'll bless them. But when my kid, Daddy, especially when his attitude's right, watch out. Especially when it's already something I want to do for him. I was just waiting for him to ask. Come on, I have all this stuff in reserve. Come on, and it's reserve, well, reserve. My son knows everything I own is his. Everything. Our father. You got a rich daddy? Why would we live so poorly when we got a rich daddy? That's stupid. Come on. I grew up in a wealthy home. And be honest with you, my lifestyle reflected it. I'd walk out of the house, even if I was wearing jeans, my dad would look and say, you're not wearing that out. I said, what's wrong with these? He said, no, you're not. He said, at least go buy a decent pair. Come on now. Why? Because it reflected him. Come on. See, we don't realize how rich our daddy is. Jesus came to reveal the Father. Come on. He came to reveal the Father. And Jesus came to restore the kingdom rulership of God on earth through his church. So what is church? It's training and reigning. That's what it should be. Teaching people to overcome. Teaching people to take new territory. Teaching people to be more influencers and world shakers. Come on now. Teaching people to dream again. Teaching people to get out of the box. Teaching people they're no longer slaves. Come on. They're now sons and joint heirs. Teaching people that their natural birth is nothing compared to their spiritual birth. Come on now. That once they received Christ, everything changed. Teaching people, retraining people to reign in this life. It's a whole different mentality. I'm going to be honest with you. I won't teach you to cope. I will teach you to conquer. Come on. Teaching people that his government has to increase. That's what kingdom is. It's government increase, but not this government. We've allowed this government to take the place of his government. That's one of the major problems we have right now. People are depending on the wrong government. Come on now. It's fine to depend on his government because everything we have is tied to it. It's a commonwealth. We're part of a commonwealth. That's what a kingdom is. What the king possesses is passed down to the people. Come on now. See, God's not against distribution of wealth. He actually wants to bless you to make you a distribution center. Come on now. Does this make sense? That's what God does. He said, I want to increase you and your children. I want to increase you. That's Psalm 115, verse 16. I want to increase you. I believe the spirit of increase is going to come on us. Come on now. I believe the spirit of increase. It's a government thing. It's a kingdom thing. The increase of his government knows no end. He said it will increase and increase and increase. If people will plug into it, it will take on over. It will keep increasing and increasing and increase. You can't stop it. No, gates of hell can't stop it. Nothing can stop it. The stuff we've been preaching is easy to stop. But the kingdom, you can't stop. Does this make sense? And he said, hey, I not only give you authority, I make you kings and priests. It's Revelation 1 says, I make you kings. You're royalty. I remember I was flying out on a plane, and they had bumped me up to first class, so I looked important. I went next to this big businessman, and he looked at me. He said, what do you do for a living? And I was dressed really good that day. And I looked over at him. He said, what do you do? I said, well, I'm an ambassador. At the time, I was fairly young. He said, you look awfully young to be an ambassador. He said, but what are your duties? I said, most of all, I just speak to kings. He said, what? I said, yeah, I go around. I could say, everywhere I go, I speak to kings. He said, you must be very important. I said, I am. But that's what I do, man. Right now, I'm preaching to kings. Kings, come on now. You got to see yourself as royalty. And we got to be trained in the ways of royalty. Come on now. I mean, well, many times, we don't know the protocol of royalty. We know the protocol of poverty. Come on. There's a difference. So God wants to restore and return the administration of God's kingdom to God's earthly kings. That's what it is. We're administrating the kingdom of God. We're here to keep a God says, I want you to take new territory, new territory, new territory. Because a king's glory is tied to the amount of land he possesses. So as the glory increases, it only increases when you as you possess more ground. Come on. See, another God wants to has done for us is he's redeemed us. He's bought us back. Come on, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And you weren't redeemed by junk. You were redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. You got to understand something. He bought you. He paid for you by his own life. Don't you ever walk away around saying, I'm unworthy. Because God said, you're worth my son. He said, when you say you're unworthy, you're saying he was unworthy. Because that's the price he paid. Now, you're undeserving. That's grace. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. You were born into it. But you're not unworthy. I was born into a wealthy family. I had privileges. And one of the things I found out is I never in my life ever thought about crawling underneath the table and beg for crumbs from the table. Never would say, oh, Daddy, I'm so unworthy. He would just smack me. What's wrong with you, boy? Get up here. Get up here. And be honest with you, many of us, you know, you weren't born privileged, but you were born again privileged. Come on now. You know, you were born again privileged. Guess what? You were born again with all the same privileges as the world's wealthiest man. In fact, you may have more privileges than they do because they may not be born again. Come on now. Hallelujah. In fact, the wealth of the sinners laid up for the righteous. Come on, they're working for you. They're working for you. That's why I don't want ungodly people not to prosper. I want them to prosper because their wealth is mine. I mean, if it's going to transfer wealth, I want some wealth to be transferred. Come on now. I don't want them to fail. I just want them to yield. Come on, does this make sense? God said, hey, we're going to come into revival. Revival just means to breathe again. Breathe life into again. God said, I'm going to revive the work in the midst of the years. God's about ready to give you a second wind. Come on now. He said, I'm going to revive. I'm going to breathe all over it. Some of you're going to get your little tood back. You know what I'm saying? You know, you know when you used to be your bad self. I mean, good self in a bad. You know what I'm saying? You have that. You know, and God wants to revive your confidence, restore it. You know, and as long as you know it's Him, He can do it. You know, we need to prophesy to the wind, prophesy to the breath. Breathe again, God. Breathe again, God. Breathe again. Breathe on your church. Breathe on your people. Breathe on our community. And God said, I'm not only wanting to revive, I want to restore. I want to bring back. I want to restore all the years the cankerworm has eaten. I want to make up. I want to restore. And because of the blood of the covenant in Zechariah 9:11, He said, I want to restore everything that was stolen, then I'm going to double it. I'm going to double it. I'm going to double it. I'm going to take you back to your highest place, and then I'm going to double it. Come on now. Some of you right now, you know, hey, you're going to get double for your trouble. Come on. God said, hey, I'm going to restore. I'm going to restore. He's a restoration God. You know, many times in order for God to restore, we have to repent. You know, repentance doesn't always mean bawling and squalling. Sometimes it does. But sometimes repentance just means, dummy. How many of you have ever been there? You sat there, and all of a sudden, something's preached, and you slap yourself. I should have known that. I forgot that, or And, you know, that's repentance. It's like, all of a sudden, your mind's going to a higher level. Come on now. You repent, you return, you repent, and times of refreshing comes from the presence of God. Come on. God says, the only way the refreshing can come is, number one, turn back to God and rethink it. Come on. Get your mind up to His level, and refreshing will come. Come on. Is this okay? See, and then, you know, after you repent, you know what God will use you for? He'll use you for reconcile. He'll say reconcile. Number one, God reconciled us to Himself. Come on, He brought us back. He bought us back. He redeemed us. But then He gave us the ministry of reconciliation, where everywhere we go, we reconcile people to God. We tell God, we have to tell people, God's not angry at them. There is a terrible teaching, because it's based on Old Testament truth, which was true. In the Old Testament, before Jesus died, God was angry at sin. He was angry at the sinner, because He was a just God. Today, He's still angry about sin, but He's not angry at the sinner. Because all the wrath was poured on Jesus. Every part. All the anger God had towards the actions of people were poured out on Jesus. He paid the price of all that. God is not angry at unbelievers. And if you think He is, He's not. He may not like what they do, but He's not angry at them. And the problem is we present an angry God. He's not angry. The only thing that gets Him angry is injustice towards people. And you want to get Him real angry? That religious spirit. Why? Because we honestly, by our religious spirit, we're withholding people from mercy. He doesn't like being misrepresented. Come on now. You know, I know a lot of people don't want to go to church because they met Christians. If they're there, I won't go to hell. You know? And I understand that. I've been around some. I say, well, God, if that was the first Christian I ever met, I would never gone in. But see, how many of you understand that God wants to use us to reconcile? And God wants to resurrect. There are a lot of things that have been dead God's about ready to breathe life into again. He wants to resurrect. He's the resurrection. Come on now. He's the resurrection. He wants to resurrect our dead bodies. Come on now, in some areas. He wants to quicken, make alive again. In areas, He wants the healing power to flow. He wants to resurrect dreams and visions. He wants to resurrect your hopes. Come on. Some of you, He wants to resurrect your faith. He's a God of the resurrection. You know, if you believe, you'll see the glory of God. He said, I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. I believe God's about ready to resurrect some stuff. Come on, things everyone thought was dead. Everyone thought it was over. Come on now, but it ain't over until God says it's over. And He's the resurrection. He's about ready to resurrect this nation. Come on now, resurrection power. See, in the midst of resurrection, He's always saying return. He said, you know what return means? Come back. God's planned your comeback. Come on. Hallelujah. You're going to return to your former glory and beyond. You're going to return. Yeah, setback, took a step back. God's planned your comeback. He's actually planned for you to go to a place you've never been before. Everyone thought you're done. It's over. God said, ain't over till I over. I planned your comeback. I remember years ago, one of my favorite athletes was George Foreman. I've always been a George Foreman fan. I was a George Foreman fan when he was chiseled, and I was chiseled at the same time. We kind of were built the same way. We were just muscular and perfect Vs, and later on, as he got changed his shape, I changed my shape, and we still were built about the same way. Come on now. But I remember when he came out of retirement to fight again. Everyone thought he was crazy. And I actually watched the fight when he won the world title again. And I'm watching the fight, and he's getting pummeled. I mean, I don't even know if he threw a punch in 9 rounds. This other guy's hitting him constant. And I'm thinking, George, fall down, George, just fall down. It's over, George. It's over. Come on. Fall down. Then we can eat a celebration meal. Come on now. We can get out your little grill. Hey! But fall down. But he just sat there, and the guy just pounding away. And all of a sudden, the 10th round, he throws one punch. One punch. It looked slow motion when he threw it. That guy was just, and the way the guy landed was slow motion too. It was like, whoa. I said, that's a comeback. That's a comeback. Come on now. That's a comeback. God said, hey, we still got that punch left in us. Come on now. We got the comeback in us. Come on now. You're going to get your fight back. You know, he's plans. You know, your return. And you dream again. Come on. God says, I've also planned your recompense. Well, God said, I'm going to pay back. I'm going to pay you back for all the years. God's not unjust to forget our labor of love. One of my favorite candy bars, and I like lots of them, sometimes it shows. There are moments I am a temple, and there are moments I'm a cathedral. Either way, God lives in me. Come on now. But you know, one of my favorite candy bars is Payday. I like Payday. I love Payday candy bar. I love the name Payday. Payday makes me smile. Payday! Come on now. I don't like bills, but I like Payday. You know? And so, you know, I started thinking about that. I said, God, I usually have one around because it's prophetic. Until I eat it, then I have to buy something else prophetic. But the bottom line is God said, hey, I'm about ready. Payday's coming. Payday, you've been sowing, and you haven't seen much, but suddenly, there's not even going to be the mother load. There's going to be the father load. Come on now. Hey! Payday's coming. Recompense. The enemy has to repay sevenfold everything he's stolen. Come on, you know what God's also going to do? He's going to renew, make new again. He said, I'm going to make everything new again. He said, not everything you do will be, you know, a new thing. It's just going to be a renewed thing. He wants to renew our strength. He wants our minds renewed. Everything God does is fresh. He said, he wants you to walk in newness of life. Newness. See, when it gets old, it's just, I'm not connecting right. I know anything that gets old is not current. So when I feel like things are getting old spiritually, it's just I'm not current with God. Come on now. I have to reposition, redo something. Come on. Does this make sense? But God said, I'm about ready to renew. I'm about ready to renew the ground. I'm about ready to renew some visions. Come on now. I'm going to make them new again. I'm going to make them fresh again. I'm going to make them as alive as when you first saw them. Come on now. Hallelujah. Many of us, God said, he's going to make us do some of the things we failed at. And he'll say, I want you to do it again. I want you to do a do-over. But Lord, we fished all night. Do it again. But we caught nothing. He said, not this time. Do it again. Come on now. He wants to renew some stuff. And the last word I want to use, is this okay this morning? I need a copy of this somehow. I don't know how you guys do it. But, and not the part where I dropped the mic, although it's probably on beyond it. I have to explain that to people. Actually, be edited. But the last thing I want to say is God wants to reward. Come on now. Reward is like to award again. How many of you understand, you know, when you, the Bible says without faith, you can't please God. But it says he is a rewarder. God's in the reward system. I understand something. He said, I'm a rewarder of those who diligently say, I will reward them. Come on now. God said, I'm about ready to reward. Come on. I like rewards. Don't throw away your confidence. That's great recompense of reward. The enemy's after your reward, so he steals your confidence. Come on now. Because if he steals your confidence, you won't get your inheritance. Understand that. Even though God purchases it for you, you can't have it if you don't have confidence. And the inheritance is your reward. It's your reward just for being part of the family. It's your reward for making that choice. That's your inheritance. You didn't earn it, but it was freely given you, but it's the reward of faith. What faith does is access what God gave by grace. That's all it is. God said, I'm offering you healing today, but you have to take it by faith. I'm offering it by grace. You can't earn it. It's free, but you have to believe it. You have to receive it. He said, I'm offering. How many of you have some area of your life you want to do over? Come on now. You want a do-over. You say, God, and the good news is, in God, there's always do-overs. You know, there's always do-overs. He said, I'm about ready to do this thing again. He's a re-God. Come on now. Hey. Sometimes he recycles. Sometimes he renews. But he's a re-God. Come on now. He's a re-God. Hey, I'm so grateful that there's a re. Come on now. I'm grateful for the re, because I've messed up sometimes and I need a re. Come on. That's what the blood does. It gives you the re. Come on. The blood, you can mess up. It gets under the blood. And God said, hey, you don't even have to regret anymore, because I have forgotten it. He said, hey, you can start over like it never happened, like it never happened, like it never happened. He wipes your slate clean. When you do sin, if you confess it, he's not unjust. He actually forgives you of all unrighteousness. You can always have a clean slate. He's a re-God. Come on. He's a re-God. And I believe a revival, is that it? He's going to revive. Come on now. And we're going to get the re back in us. Come on now. We're going to get the re back in us. Hey. You know, guess what? You're going to re-enter the race. Come on now. Some of you felt like you've been disqualified. God said, I'll re-qualify you. I re-qualify you. Come on, get back in. It's not over yet. Get back in. I'm going to reveal what I'm about ready to do. Come on now. And I'm going to use people that have been written off. People that have needed mercy will show mercy. People that have needed grace will show grace. When you know it's all God, you're just thankful. That's what inheritance is about. If you think you earned it, it's not grace. God said, okay, you're on your own on this one. You earned it, okay, it's yours. But anything you own is cursed. Anything I own is blessed. That's what we're called, a steward. A steward is just someone that uses someone else's stuff. I do it all the time. A lot of my vacations are that way. I use someone else's home. People always ask me, you want? I say, yeah, I want yours. Hey, I can live rich off of someone else's money. That's my relationship with God. Yeah, this. Right now, my son's doing pretty well off of me. Guess what? It's going to be, we about ready to reverse that one. Because now he is just, he's way out there. And I'm looking forward to it. I said, he said, yeah. I said, I don't need a big house by the ocean, son. I got this little place in La Jolla, right there in the beach. I just said, just want a little beach home. You know. Anyway, you see, I'm halfway serious. Actually, I'm more than halfway. At least it sounds good. I just had a dream. I just had a bit. No. Somebody have a vision of Eden. I want every head bowed, no one looking around. But I want to, there's something going on. How many of you know there's something going on in the atmosphere? God, you are a new creation, but God wants to renew you. Renew you. Renew you. Renew a vision. He wants to get the re back in. There's some areas that we got to get read again. We got to get, come on now. You know what I'm saying? We've allowed some things to go because, you know, circumstances. And God says, no, I want to restore. I want to refresh. I want to renew. I want to reconcile. I want to, you know, come on. He said, I got the re for your need. I knew you would have this need, so I'm going to redo it. He said, I'm going to give you a do-over. Areas you didn't get right, you get a chance to make it right. I love that. He said, I'm not going to remember your failures. But I've already planned for your success. So let's redo this. Let's get it right this time. How many of you today say, you're talking to me, I need an area of my life just redone. I want to pray for you today. If that's you, come on up real quick. There's an anointing. There's the anointing of the re. There's the anointing of the re. The God said, I'm going to renew. I'm going to restore. Come on. Some of you need your health restored. If that's you, come on. Some of you need your strength restored. Some of you, honestly, you need your hope restored. Some of you, it's like, you know, it's that fire. Restore your fire. You know, sometimes we got to get fired up again. A lot of times what God does is he restores my vision. And as soon as I have vision, my strength is restored. You know, because I get excited because I can see it again. I can see it again. I want you to lift up your hands towards heaven. We're gonna see revival, revival. God's going to breathe all over you. He's going to breathe all over you. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready for the dreams, the visions. Come on now. They're already yours. It's a done deal. God said, I'm gonna do more in a short period of time than you were able to do the rest of your life. It's gonna be a suddenly, quickly moving of my spirit. And it won't be about you. It will just be about you connecting to me. All of a sudden, you'll just begin to be like a little kid, just believing again. And I'm going to restore, and I'm going to double, and I am going to literally give you a recompense of all the time that you sowed faithfully and didn't see much. Because when you didn't think I was doing things, your faithfulness kept something alive that would have died. So I release that anointing right now, Lord.